What's up, everybody? Thank you for listening to Next Gen Radio. This is episode number 187, and I am your host, Mike Ercolano, and today I'm here with my co-host and head coach at Next Gen, John Esposito.
Hello, hello.
Today we have an episode of Ask Next Gen, where we answer three of your questions that were either submitted via email, which you could do that through ask@nextgenradiopodcast.com, or just asked here in person while at the gym, I guess. Through texts, I don't know if people text you, yeah, but
mostly been asked in person.
Mostly in person from our members. So let's get into these three questions for today. The first one, which was asked to John earlier this week by one of our members, and they asked, "How do I get the most out of my rest days?"
So I like this question a lot because rest days are probably as important as your training days because that's when most of your benefits are going to happen. You're starting to rebuild your muscle, especially when you're sleeping, but you're rebuilding your muscle. You're getting nutrients back into your body and letting your body redo all or undo all the damage you just did to it, the quote-unquote damage you just did to it.
Right.
To get the most out of it, a lot of it has to do with your nutrition, your hydration, and making sure you're actually moving on your rest days. A lot of people will take a rest day and be like, oh, well, it's a lazy day. I'm not going to do anything today. I'm going to eat like garbage. Right. I'm going to not drink my water. But you should concentrate on A, hitting high protein or higher levels of protein than you normally would or about the same as you would on a training day. Make sure you're getting good, healthy fats in there because they're going to help restore the muscles and joints. Make sure you are either hitting your hydration levels or a little bit more because your body tends to need more as it's rebuilding its muscle. And make sure you're moving. It doesn't have to be another workout, but something like a 30-minute, 45-minute walk. If you go through the warm-up that we do at the gym a couple times through, it'll get your body moving. It'll get you some blood flow going.
That's some good advice, too.
But it's a good combination of nutrition, taking all those preemptive measures. If you're really sore after a workout, you can roll out a little bit, but we'll have another question later for that one.
Say, is that a foreshadowing for a question later on?
I think it might be. I think it might be. But do all the things you're doing on your working days, but pay a little extra attention to the details on those rest days to make sure you're getting the most out of them.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point that you just made right there is that, you know, you're do pretty much what you're doing on your working days, but just as a rest day, right? Yeah. You're not hitting it hard in the gym, but you're still eating healthy. You're still getting your water, your hydration. You still should be moving, right? Like John said, 30, 45-minute walk, just get outside and move, it just not at a high intensity. And that's pretty pretty sound advice there. You know, it's if you're somebody who's, let's say, like, you know, competing in the Olympics or something, then maybe the advice could be a little different, right?
And absolutely.
But for the general population, most of us, you know, including you and I, right, who are not, you know, professional athletes, we train hard, we work out hard, but we probably work out more than the regular average person does. But even for us, we're not needing to peak for a certain competition or for a certain day or a certain time. You know, just continuing to live healthy lifestyle, but just scale it back a little bit, you know. There's a couple different approaches. If you're, you know, maybe in like a bulking type phase, you know, it could be a good day to actually be over, you know, to eat more and help your body recover and force more nutrients in your body without, you know, having to worry about recovering from that recovery day, right? Because, you know, if you're working out, training hard, you need to recover from that. But generally speaking, just be healthy. Move, don't sit around and do nothing, right? Don't just lay. And, you know, sometimes, you know, there's a time and place for that too. If you're, you know, if you really just need a mental health day, but like a general regular rest day during the week, just stay active and eat healthy and drink enough water and get enough sleep and try to work on your mental stress. And I think that's pretty good advice for most people listening to this.
I'd agree.
So, all right, question number two. Is almond butter a healthier option than peanut butter?
I was actually happy that you said this one. I was having a discussion with somebody. This is a tough question because they both have their own benefits. Peanut butter is higher in protein on average. Mm-hmm. Almond butter's got better fat. It's got higher volumes of minerals, nutrients, vitamins, higher fiber. But it goes back to what your goals are and what your tastes are. If you need the vitamins in your system and you feel like you're not getting enough in your diet or you feel like you need a little bit more fiber, take the almond butter. But if you're not somebody who has that fight and you get your fiber in your system, you get all your vitamins and minerals in, and you just like the taste of peanut butter, eat your peanut butter. It's going to be your better bet because it's just going to be something you're getting in there.
Right.
But just make sure you're watching out for the sugars. Peanut butter is typically higher in sugars, higher in those the oils that you don't want in your food. It's like those canolas and those filler oils that they put in there. And the almond butters typically aren't. So that's, there's not one better than the other, but if your goal is protein, I'd say peanut butter.
Yeah, that was essentially going to be my answer, is that you're really, I mean, one is not necessarily healthier than the other, but you know, most peanut butters you find on the shelves are filled with a bunch of other crap in it, right? And generally speaking, almond butters that you find are not, right? Like, they don't have as many fillers. They're a little bit more natural. They don't have this, a lot of those seed oils and the oils that you were talking about, you know. So, like, just check the ingredients. I mean, I have at home, like, it's an all-natural, nothing added peanut butter, where it's basically just peanuts ground up and a little bit of course, they got to put some oil in it, or else it would just be a pile of ground up peanuts, right? They got to make it into the butter somehow. But that's, it's really just like two ingredients, and it doesn't taste the way like Skippy does, right? So like, if you're looking at like Skippy or whatever the main name brands are in peanut butter, those usually have some added sugar, and they have other added stuff to it that helps keep that consistency, right? Regular, for the most part, like almond butters and natural peanut butters that don't have all that other stuff in it, they're going to end up breaking down a little bit. You're going to have to stir them when you're sitting there for a while. Like, if your peanut butter looks the same after you opened it, like 6 months later, and it's still sitting on the shelf looking the same, there's probably some preservatives and some fillers and stuff in there that's keeping that consistency. You know, almond butter could be a little thicker, a little denser, you know, so you might want to obviously keep that in mind. But you know, healthier, like that word healthier, one versus the other is not really healthier. Just got to make sure that you're not, you know, loading up with all the crap, all the fillers and all the preservatives and stuff like that. And just, you know, understand that regardless if it's peanut butter or almond butter, it is very calorie dense for serving size, right? So, like, you know, a tablespoon of peanut butter is probably a lot smaller than what you think an actual tablespoon looks like, right? And I think we're all guilty of it, but those calories could add up, right? Like, you know, two servings of peanut butter is like 400 calories. Same thing with almond butter, right? Absolutely. 400 or 500 calories for a couple tablespoons of almond butter or peanut butter. You know, you don't realize that, but that adds up very quickly, you know? So just keep an eye on the serving sizes. But in terms of healthier, I mean, if you're eating, like we said, the all natural, no preservatives, no filler stuff, you know, it's what's healthier, eating peanuts or eating almonds, right? That's what it comes down to.
Yep.
Yeah, so like John said, it's really what your needs are, what your personal preferences are, and just, you know, a little bit of one or the other probably in the end is not going to make that big of a difference. You know, if you're eating it all day, every day, then maybe you want to look at, you know, the big differences. But it's really, at the end of the day, there's not a huge difference between the two, as long as the ingredients list are you know, equatable, right?
Yeah.
So. Anything nice else answer. Before we move on?
No, that was good. All right. Everything we needed.
All right, question number three. This is another question asked by one of our members to John, because we're currently switching our new programming over to the new programming. So there's a lot of new movements and a lot of different types of rep ranges that our members weren't currently doing. So they asked John, should I work out while I'm sore?
Now, this is, I always answer this question with depends, because it depends really how sore you are and how fatigued you are. If you're getting up the next day and just walking down your staircase is tough enough as is, I would not recommend a workout.
Right.
But if you get up and you're noticing that, oh, my quads, my hamstrings, glutes are a little sore, or my upper back and my shoulders are a little sore, you can take it by gauge. If it's like a 1 out of 5, you're just feeling a little bit of muscles, you can still get in for a workout there. Your body will probably benefit from it a little bit more.
Definitely.
But if you're sitting at that point where walking down the staircase because your muscles are so sore is I would not recommend a workout. I'd recommend some movement.
Right.
Get some blood flow going. Get that 30 or 45 minute walk in, or take some time to foam roll out a little bit. But you don't have to work out when you're that sore. No. Anything from like a 1 to a 3, I'd say, is kind of acceptable. But when your body's too sore, it goes into protect mode. And when you try working out when your body's in protect mode, that's when you can really get injured.
Right.
And you're not paying attention to all the small details because you're noticing these muscles being sore. But so I would say it's depends answer. If you're anywhere from like a 1 to 3 on a sore level, you should be okay. But anything from like a 4 or 5, take it easy. Let your body recover a little bit. Move a little bit. Get all those nutrients in. But don't kill yourself for a workout.
Right. Yeah, there's nothing really inherently wrong with working out while sore. Like, it's not like if you're sore, that means that you can't, you know, get better, get stronger. What, like, just because the soreness is there doesn't mean it's gonna stop you from getting good results. But if it affects your movement quality, like John was just saying, like if you're sore and it's affecting, like you can't walk down the stairs because you're so sore, it takes you 30 minutes to sit down on the toilet, you know, then you're probably not going to be focusing on good form while you're in the gym, right? You're going to be focused on that pain. It's not, it's going to stop you from good movement quality. Then take the day off, you know, tomorrow's a new day, mm-hmm. you know, but again, going back to our first question, don't take the day off completely. Go for a walk, 30, 45 minutes. I love the idea. What you said was, like, if you're a member here at the gym, do the warm-up at home, right? Yep. Do, you know, our warm-up stays the same every quarter, throughout the whole quarter. So, you know, if you've probably memorized it by now, you know, do that at home. That's a great advice for doing stuff on your off days. So that's mm-hmm. it's a great time to get recovery, mobility work in and some stretching. And, you know, so, like, do those things if you're sore. Get on the foam roller. Everyone could go to, you know, Walmart and buy a foam roller now, right? They're everywhere.
Got one for $6 the other day.
Right, exactly. So you could keep a foam roller at home, and it helps alleviate the soreness a little bit, keeps you moving, keeps you, you know, going in the right direction. But, you know, I think you did a pretty good job of putting that scale, right? If it's like one to three, then yeah, you could probably work out no problem. If you're up there to like the four and five range of like, this is super sore, then, you know, take the day off, do some recovery work, go for a walk, get all your everything we answered number one, and then, you know, come back to the gym the next day. Yeah. So,
but make sure, most important thing, you're taking care of your body, especially if you're sore. Take care of it. Ask us questions if you need to. Mm-hmm. And we always have an answer for if something's sore, like there's a stretch, there's some kind of foam roller you can do. If you don't know the warm-up, we know the warm-up before you guys, and we can send it over. But it's just taking those preemptive measures of when your body's not feeling 100% right. Make good decisions for yourself.
Right. Yeah, listen to it. Always want to listen to your body, right? It will tell you the truth almost all the time. So,
that's for sure.
Yeah, I think that's it for today. Any final thoughts on these questions, John?
No, I like those. I like the first and the last one. They really made me think a little bit because they kind of relate with each other,
mm-hmm.
but they can have different results, different answers for each one.
Yeah, definitely. So, well,
thank you guys for asking.
Yeah, we appreciate all the questions that come in. We appreciate all of our listeners as well. So if you have a question and you're not in the gym to ask John or ask one of our coaches in person, you can email us a question at ask@nextgenradiopodcast.com. That is also in our show notes. I know I've had at least one person tell me they emailed us a question and we didn't get it. So
what?
Yeah, and I asked them to email it again, and I still haven't gotten it. I check that email all the time. Huh. So I do get questions there. So maybe there's a spelling error or whatever. So either way, the link or the actual email address is in our show notes. You just click on it and it will automatically start drafting an email directly to us. So do that if you're not in the gym and you can't ask one of our coaches in person. But that is all. We appreciate all of you. If you could please leave us a 5-star review, we would truly appreciate it. It would mean a lot to us. And until our next show, which will air on Tuesday, thank you all for listening and be well.